Janovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
Boyd Matheson in the house. No Debbie Dujanovic, so it's just the boys today. We're going to be able to really have some conversations. Boyd said, we're talking about sports, right? You know, that's an interesting topic. Boy, that's a great pitch. I would rather talk about Social Security.
Yeah. I don't even know you anymore, Dave.
Who are you today? We're going to bond, have some conversations.
Social Security?
You had such a great conversation yesterday, and I was listening to your guest, and he started bringing up so many great questions about the future of Social Security, how to prepare for it, how to prepare for a life when we run out of money in Social Security in 10 years, which is just about inevitable. But why do you tackle this? Because I don't know if you got the memo. Anytime you talk about Social Security reform, everyone hates you.
Yeah, yeah. And you get a primary challenger.
And you get a primary challenger every single time. You're like, I'm going to address Social Security. They're like, yeah. And we enjoyed your service. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, it's so crazy. And all you have to do is think back to the State of the Union, the last two State of the Unions, where President Biden has raised Social Security. He's tried to use it as a weapon against the Republicans, saying, oh, they're going to push grandma off the cliff and they're going to take away your Social Security. And then, of course, everybody says, oh, no. We're going to deal with $34 trillion in debt. We're going to deal with deficit spending, but we're not going to talk about Social Security because we don't want to lose the political point. And that's why nobody's really talking about it. And that's why our conversation yesterday with Chris McIsaac from the R Street Institute is how do we start to get to that? Because as you mentioned, Dave, in 10 years, something is going to happen. And so everyone's saying, I'm not going to do anything to hurt seniors. I'm not going to do anything. If Congress fails to act, they will do a big thing to all the seniors because the cuts will happen automatically or all the benefits go away. And so if you're really out to help somebody, you help by taking on difficult issues, not by avoiding them. Or I always think in Congress, there's sort of this hope strategy. We hope this will change, or we hope the economy will pick up, or we hope we'll find this magic pot of, you know, it's all magic thinking.
Yeah.
Hope is not a strategy. And you have to have leaders who are willing to have the uncomfortable conversation, especially when it comes to Social Security.
One of the things I remember, and I was in my 20s when this happened, but it was George W. Bush, and he wanted to address Social Security reform. Yeah. And I never really thought about it. I was in my 20s, but he started talking about it, and one of his solutions, and this is one of the things I truly appreciated. There was an actual solution I could wrap my head around.
Yeah.
Where he said, let's take a portion of the Social Security that we're taking and you can invest it yourself. And this goes directly to you. And I thought, oh, wow.
That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. But the problem is right now is the situation we're in with Social Security. So much of our money that is going into Social Security, it's not being squirreled away for Dave Noriega.
Right.
It's paying for my mom.
Yeah, that's right. It's a pay forward thing. It's the current workers are paying for those that are already retired, which is a completely messed up system based on things from 50 years ago that no longer even apply. And so we have to start looking at unique ways to go about it. And one of the ways that we explored yesterday was actually to look back to the states. I know federalism is cool again. That's part of my job. If we don't get a federalism comment, it doesn't count as an interview.
If it was Mike Lee, it would be Federalist Paper 97-2.483 says...
No, but if you just get it back to the states, and one of the examples really interesting that R Street Institute pulled out was Utah dealing with pension reform. And you can remember
also,
back. You remember you had Dan Lillenquist, the state legislature, pensions across the country are in really bad shape.
Trouble, right.
But Utah said, you know, we're going to deal with it. And so they got creative. They went through the process. They had open debates. They had transparency. And now that's kind of a model for a lot of these states that are literally sinking themselves because they can't, their pensions are just bust. And so it was a model, again, state-led model. I think this is another area where Utah will lead out. And our legislature has continued to do things like that. And I would love to see state legislators, state leaders come forward and say, you know what, if we were doing this, this is how we would go. This is how we would attack Social Security. And I guarantee you we'd get some pretty interesting worthwhile to explore solutions that come out of it. But right now, everyone is so afraid politically to talk about it that we continue to not have the conversation, and we continue to demonize who's going to be the evil, awful person to push grandma off the cliff.
And I keep going back to this George W. Bush, and he said, we should trust Americans by giving them the option of investing part of their Social Security options into private accounts. We should trust Americans.
Yeah.
And that is something that we just aren't doing right now, in part because we have proven untrustworthy in some ways.
Yeah.
We keep electing individuals that clearly do not care about reining in the national debt, or having these tough conversations about how are we going to fund Social Security? How are we going to continue offering these benefits for Medicaid, Medicare? Yeah. And so we are to blame in some ways. I'm just not quite sure what that solution looks
and
like.
And there's a lot of possible solutions out there in terms of, you know, changing the retirement age. Everybody always panics about all of that. Yeah. And of course, anything that gets implemented isn't going to affect current people who are on Social Security. Probably wouldn't even impact those that are going to be there in the next 10 years. You got to have a ramp up and an on-ramp, so to speak. But there's a lot of things you can get creative with that I think could give people confidence in it. I mean, if you're a young person today, the chances of you seeing Social Security, you probably have a better chance of seeing Elvis walk out of the building than getting a Social Security check in your 60s or 70s, because it's just not real. And so we have to have people who are willing to stand up and speak out. As you were talking, I was thinking back, there's a great quote by Adlai Stevenson, who said, we are on the eve of great decisions, not easy decisions. Let's speak truth to the American people, not what we're against, but what we're for. And if we do that, then we can get to the right thing, because it's not who leads us. It's what leads us. It's what principles, what policies. It's those that have the courage to say, you know what? This is what I'd love to hear from somebody. Who would be willing to say, I'm willing to lose my job in the House or the Senate to get this done because this is so important? And that's the question we should be asking everybody, is what is it that would make all of this worthwhile, even if it cost you your job?
This is something that I saw happen from French President Emmanuel Macron, where he said, the numbers don't work, folks. You can't keep retiring at 60. We're going to bump it up all the way to 62, or it was 62 to 64. You know, it was something like this. They were having riots in the street, like bonfires in the middle of the street, and he didn't cave.
Yeah,
he said, no, the math works.
Math always wins.
The math always wins. And I thought it was one of the great examples of political courage that I have seen in a long time, because he didn't back down. He said, this has to happen, and you have to wrap your head around
it. Yeah, the two things we have to really interject into our governing as a country, and at the local level as well, is the math always wins. So we have to be real about the math, because you can't change the math. So we have to put increasing revenues on the table. That has to be on the table. Maybe we just need to do it some way. You can get creative about that. And we got to look at what the benefits are, when they kick in, all that. You have to put those two things on the table, because otherwise, not talking about it, not making a decision is a decision.
Yes.
And we have the absolute predictability of consequences. And the absolute predictability of consequences for all of those who are out there beating their chest saying, I'm watching out for seniors, I'm watching out for my grandma and your grandma. They're not being honest, because the absolute predictability of the consequences of inaction is that those people, especially the poor and the most vulnerable, are going to be hurt the most if we don't get to the crucial conversation.
And I would absolutely, at 49 years old, say, okay, you can delay my retirement for a couple of years if you could get some sort of budget spending under control, because if you delay everything, if you put me out till I'm 70 years old or 72 years old, and you still keep spending, and you just take that money and spend it on a different program, that doesn't help anybody.
Yeah.
Boyd, thank you. It was a great conversation.
Best non-sports conversation we've ever had.
It's a great non-sports conversation, but we'll, in between, you know, once I'm off the air, we'll catch up. Thanks, Boyd. So when we come back, we have a chance to talk to Senate candidate Brad Wilson. This segment of the Dave and Dujanovic Show is brought to you by Window World of Utah. Today, you can get the best value in windows and doors, and that's no baloney.